Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, and I have a really heart-centered interview today because this young man has not only served his country, but came back and said, you know, I need to do something to help other service people come when they're coming back to not go into the couch potato mode, but to take control of what they have learned and what they have and the resources they have to build financial freedom. So, Buddy Rushing, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you. It's an absolute honor. I've been texting all of my friends and I'm like, you're not going to believe who I'm about to talk to, because everyone that I know, at least your influence, even though you haven't met most of them, what you've done in your life has made a big impact on ours. So we want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So, I like to ask all my guests to start by, we can talk about your great success today, and we will, but I like to talk about little Buddy, because you had, you know, pretty austere beginnings and you pulled your bootstraps up. So tell us a little bit about little Buddy.
It's so funny. You're the only person that I've ever heard say little Buddy, except my dad, who that's where the nickname came from. He would introduce me as his little Buddy, and he would talk about, but yeah, it was, I was the youngest of five and I grew up in East Tennessee, and my mom and dad, they worked really hard. I never saw people work as hard, but they didn't know anything about money. And there wasn't a lot of opportunities in East Tennessee in the 80s. And so we were really poor and we grew up on food stamps, and they had a program called WIC at the time, which basically, if you had a large family and couldn't afford food, they would, you'd be able to get like cheese and, you know, milk and bread. And it was hard. I mean, it was extremely hard, because when you don't have any money, you don't have a lot of choices. And anything, what I saw is that, you know, anything that would happen that was a nuisance or an inconvenience for other people, like a tire blows out or you get sick or you scrape your knee, was a major deal for us, because you couldn't afford to fix it. You couldn't afford to go to the hospital. You couldn't afford, right? And so it just, there was a lot of pain that came from growing up in poverty. And it seemed like no matter how hard my parents worked, that didn't change. And so for me, that, I think, it may not sound very glamorous, but like my desire to change the financial legacy of my family came from not wanting to be poor anymore. It wasn't about Lamborghinis and all this other stuff. It was about being able to afford the food that I wanted to eat, and you know, and being able to afford to go to the hospital and get proper care. And the same thing with our teeth. Like you never went to the dentist because you couldn't afford to go to the dentist. And so cavities and all this stuff, it's just, it adds to the pain. And, you know, most people who grow up in poverty, they just assume, we did at the time, that you has to, that's the way it is. And it's the way it's always going to be. And you guys showed me different.
And so your decision to join the service was that to get an education, or to talk about that decision? Because from East Tennessee, you joined, I believe you went to the Naval Academy.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, I went. So one of the things that my mom and dad always pushed was academics. They said, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, like you're going to learn and you're going to be smart. And so my mom is a teacher, and, you know, so I had really good grades. And, you know, I, again, this didn't come out of necessarily a desire to serve my country, which sounds bizarre. I mean, I did want to serve my country, but really I went to the Naval Academy, applied to the Naval Academy, because if they grant you admission, they pay for your school, and I couldn't afford college. And so I applied to the Naval Academy in large part because I knew that if I got in, they would pay for it. So it's wild, right? I wish I could rewrite the story and say I had this lofty notion of all this other stuff, but it was very practical.
Hey, then, no, it's a very true story. And I think it applies to a lot of young people that see the opportunity opens for you when you get that kind of introduction. And I talk about the power of association, but by going to the Naval Academy, you level the playing field with all those kids that came in with you. As many of them came in wealthy, but they, you were all at the same level at that point, right?
That is a huge, huge life-changing point. And when I got there, I realized that one, nobody cared by and large who your father's last name was. They really didn't. A lot of people may think that's the case, but if you're a plebe at the Naval Academy, you're the lowest of the low. I don't care if your last name is Obama. Like it doesn't, it didn't matter. Like you still got a finger in your face and got told to do all the stuff everybody else did. And so, you know, it did level the playing field, but I also realized then that the playing field was up here. So they may, we may have had a level playing field, but I was, there were superhumans that walked the earth at the Naval Academy. So smart, so fast, gifted athletically. And I was like, man, I did really well in high school. And I assumed that I was just the man, that I, you know, well, I'm so much better than everybody else around me. I got there and realized I wasn't even close. And I got clobbered and had to basically claw my way through the Naval Academy and kind of squeak my way through. That was very humbling.
A reality check, right?
Big reality check. And it pounded away and really pummeled a big ego that I had. And it shriveled it down to a very small ego that served me really well moving forward. Is you're not as smart or as good as you think you are. And it can get taken like that. So just be grateful for what you've got, you know.
And how long did you serve?
So I graduated the Naval Academy in 04 and I transitioned off of active duty in 2020, I believe. So it's 20. Yeah. So about 16 and a half years on active duty. And then I transitioned into the reserves.
Wow. That's fantastic. I love it. Thank you so much for that. And so that transition of trying to determine what you wanted to do afterwards, you'd been apparently reading while you were in the service. Tell me a little bit about your vision for what you wanted to do in your life when you knew you were exiting into the reserves.
I was fortunate enough that I read on my first deployment, which was 2005. So very early on in my career, I actually read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, as we all did. And, you know, that sparked an idea in my head, just really the beginnings of a belief that just because I came from poverty didn't mean that I had to continue on that journey. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, when you grow up in that environment, you assume that that is your path, that that's what it's going to be. That's just what you believe because you don't see a way out. And in that book, I saw a way out and I didn't know any of the details. I just believed it. And that was the start. So by the time I got ready to transition off of active duty, we had already invested for years and we'd taken courses and we'd learned all this other stuff. And my wife and I together, we agreed. In fact, we were going to pay for our own wedding. We decided to get married at the courthouse and use that money to buy an investment property. That's how committed we were together, right? We got married at the San Bernardino County Courthouse, which is just a terrible courthouse. And so, but we were committed to that together. And it took a lot of sacrifice. She worked at Napa Auto Parts, driving around car batteries, you know? And so we had done that for 10, 12 years while in the Marine Corps. And that is ultimately what led to what we're doing now is we realized that you can build financial freedom with a full-time job. You just have to be willing to work nights and weekends and to take risks and to take action.
So true. So true. Yes. I tell people, so what you do for your paycheck is what you do with your paycheck. And, you know, you don't quit your job if that's putting food on your table, but with every paycheck, you have the opportunity. Do you spend it or do you invest it? Right.
That's right. That's right. And it's so funny you say don't quit your job because I've had this idea in my head and maybe you and I'll write this book together, but to write a book called Don't Quit Your Day Job. And it's the purpose is don't necessarily see a job that you hate as something you have to get away from. See it as a funding partner for your business. You're putting in work there. They're giving you money to pay your bills so you can go build your business without having your business have to put food on your table. You build it a different way. Would you agree? You build your business a different way if it doesn't have to put food on your table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because when people transition from an employee position to an entrepreneur position, that transition is not easy. No. You know, all of a sudden you're going from an environment where, and for, certainly similar in the Marines. I mean, you are told what to do every minute of the day. You get out of the Marines and all of a sudden there's nobody telling you what to do. See, there's a huge shift in your mindset and how you live every single day. And hopefully that discipline carries over. But I see so many young men and women that it doesn't. And they're
mostly
lost.
It doesn't. Mostly it doesn't, because you're right. The discipline that you learn in the Marine Corps or in any branch of the military, it's externally imposed structure that you have discipline inside. But when there's no externally imposed structure, what you just said sounds good when you don't know anything about it. You don't have anybody telling you what to do. Oh, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? But when you live it and you realize that not only is no one telling you what to do, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares what you do. And that brings with it a whole slew of insecurities and, you know, self-destructive behaviors and, you know, all of those things. Like, it can be tough. It's a tough road to go down alone.
So let's share with our audience, those that are watching and listening, a little bit about, you know, you started investing while you were in the Marine Corps, you got out, it sounds like you've had a long-term marriage, congratulations, those are always something to celebrate. And then also, you made the decision that you wanted to share what you knew with other service people. Talk about that evolution to going from investor to educator.
Yeah, Spam, it came from, I was just so excited by everything we were doing that when I was around with the guys and we were talking, that's just what I would talk about because I was passionate about it. And so many of them wanted to be involved over the years, but I didn't have, we were doing little 3-bedroom, 2-bath, $100,000 houses. We weren't a big operation. It was just me and Kimberly. And so we didn't have any outlet for that. But then I made a, just like you said, proximity. I went to a real estate investor association in Orange County, met a guy named Matt Owens. And he had a turnkey flipping operation that just produced these turnkey rental properties and lots of them. And we had a huge amount of demand or, you know, desire to buy those. We collectively as a group, and he had a bunch of supply. And so, yeah, so I said, Matt, I'll tell you what, I will teach my guys everything that they need to know about running the numbers and figuring out if these are good deals and bring them to you. And then, you know, we'll match them up with properties. And as they buy these properties, just give me a little piece of the action. And he said, okay, no problem. It sounds great. And he paid me way less than you would pay a real estate agent. But nevertheless, it was in my spare time and it was plenty. It was like $3,500 a deal. And so, you know, that's pretty good for somebody that's only making 10 grand a month in his day job. I do three of those and I've doubled my income per month. Right. And so it was a really exciting sort of time. And I was helping my friends finally get in the game. And that's word of mouth spread like wildfire. And we, as a group, purchased over 300 of those in the first 2.5 years from Matt Owens. And by the way, before, like, people, there are people listening to this, I'm sure they're like, I buy 300 houses in a month. Well, that's fine, but we're normal people. Like, we were just normal Marines. Like, well, for normal Marines to be able to do that is spectacular. And word spread, and then it continued. And they said, listen, buddy, I appreciate you hooking me up with being able to buy a house, a rental property, but I want to build a business. How do I do that? And that's when we created the Real Estate Accelerator to train them how to do that.
So, buddy, how can people find you to find out more about what you provide?
Well, it should be pretty easy to find if I've done my job right. On Instagram, it's just Buddy Rushing. My name's actually Edward Buddy Rushing. My buddy is a nickname. So if you go on YouTube, you could find me at Buddy Rushing Official. Instagram's the easiest way. Just type in Buddy Rushing and I should be, fingers crossed, the first person that pops up. It's got a blue check on it. So,
We get more popular, there's going to be lots of copycats. So you just know.
I keep
getting things that, oh, is this you? I say, of course, you know, it's not me. You've been, it's crazy, the world we live in. So what's next for you? Tell me something that you've learned that you see as a way for you to expand your business in the future.
Well, I went to an event earlier this year that just blew me away. Met a guy named Greg, who you know, who's, you know, a tremendous human. And he has really, it's what you said. It's about proximity. You put yourself in the right place. I mean, I'm talking to Sharon Lecter right now. Like, that's crazy, right? And I know for you, maybe this is old hat and you're like, okay, yeah. But you know better than anyone, the proximity that you have to people who share the same values as you do, but also have different circles. It's amazing how fast things can go. And what could have taken you 3-4 years could take 3 or 4 months if you have the right people in your circle and you treat them well and you provide value to them. So what's next for us is, I'm really excited about this. We have So our core group of people that we've helped build businesses, it's called White Feather, but it really is like an intense sort of kind of special forces training for military. But there's a huge amount of military that are out there that just want to learn how to pay off credit cards. They want to learn how to use their VA loan and how to have a little more money at the end of the month. So we've launched a community called Veterans for Financial Freedom. And you can go to veteransforfinancialfreedom.org and check it out. It's a free community. And it basically provides that kind of support and that community of people who've done what you've done, who've had the same experiences as you, and you know, whose family members have served and everything. And the mission is the same. It's help military and veterans build financial freedom. And yeah, I'm pleased to say that we launched that about 2.5 months ago, and we have a lot. We just hit 1,000 members. And so that's growing like a hiccup. And that we're trying to get our hands wrapped around it, because I'm not an event planner. I'm not anything. I'm just a guy that's happy to be here. And so we're trying to figure all this stuff out. But it's very exciting.
Well, I think you're just a guy that has an incredible story and a magnetic opportunity for other people who are looking for something to help them, particularly during these stressful times. So I want to congratulate you, Andrea. I just love it. I think it's fantastic. And so are you open primarily? Is your focus obviously is veterans. I'm assuming veterans from all walks of service. Is that right? Yeah.
Exactly. So Veterans for Financial Freedom is really about anybody who has supported and protected the American dream. And that does include military veterans, their families, and first responders, police, firefighters, EMTs, because I can tell you this, when I was in Afghanistan, especially the second and third time when I was married, I remember thinking, okay, I'm afraid for myself, but I'm not afraid for my wife, because if her house catches fire, there's gonna be a firefighter that helps her. If she, you know, she breaks down on the side of the road and she calls 911, there's going to be a police officer that comes to take care of her. If her house gets broken into, there's going to be a cop there, you know, and so on. And so I remember thinking, yeah, we're over here doing our best to keep the fight on foreign soil, but they're all protecting our family at home. And so thank you for that, right? And that, in my mind, that's what I was thinking. And so yeah, Veterans for Financial Freedom is about helping anybody who has protected the American dream get a chance to actually live it themselves.
I love that. So what do you see as the next step from a standpoint? Obviously, we're seeing interest rates have gone up and things are getting a little more expensive to find. But you talked a little bit about knowing the numbers and teaching them how to understand the numbers. And that is, you know, that's like out of, from my heart and my soul. You get the
numbers. Aren't you a CPA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a numbers nerd.
Retired
anyway.
CPA. But yeah, the numbers tell a story. And that's,
they do.
You know, they're very intimidating to most people because they don't know how to determine what the story is. So
right. You
seem that you've focused in on that and help people find that confidence in looking at it. Tell me a little bit about that.
For sure. I take the Marine approach, and that's like, I was a combat engineer. And so you hear the word engineer and it makes you think, okay, that's super complicated, but no, it's the doing the simple things in extraordinary, extreme situations. And so you try to keep it as simple as possible. And I approach business that way too. I learned that actually from Rich Dad Poor Dad, because that's a pretty simplistic book. And it's a lot of people may look at it and be like, oh, well, it's simple. And if the stories are simple and the concept, okay. But it's the best-selling personal finance book of all time. Why do you think that is? Because it's simple, right? And so we take that same approach, and I have single-page spreadsheets, right? Single-page, where I'm able to run the numbers very simply. And I agree with you, in the interest rate environment we're at right now, yeah, sure, it's 7, 8, 9% interest rates, and that has caused a lot of people to be taken out of the market. But we're finding the greatest deals we've ever found right now. And the reason we're finding those deals is because we're able to think creatively. We have a deal that we're in escrow in right now, 12 properties in Florida. The builder built all of, you're going to love this story as a CPA. And I'll make it quick. I know we're running against time.
Sorry.
The builder is an old Navy vet, and he built all of these. He's 87 years old, and he built all of these properties up. So he's got 12 brand new properties in Florida, and he wanted to sell them to us. Loved our group dynamic, what we were standing for, everything. And so he said, I tell you what, I was like, well, we can't buy these at 8% interest. Like, there's just no way. I said, but you built these. Are you willing to carry the note on them? And after several rounds of negotiation, we have agreed, Sharon, we have agreed to buy these 30% down, and he'll carry the rest at 30 years, 2% interest, fully amortized, no balloon. No points. 2% interest. Lord.
That's fantastic. Well, that is happening a lot, but certainly not at 2%. You know, so I'm seeing a lot of private lending, a lot of carrybacks as well. And you just have you have to find a way to make it work for both parties. So sounds to me like he has a big soft spot in his heart for what you're doing. That's
he does. He does, but he's also really savvy. And here's why. So what he said was, I've built all these properties. If I sell all of them and they bring financing from elsewhere, I get a huge tax hit. But if instead I only take 30% down, that's the amount of money I'm making right now. The rest is an installment sale with minimal tax overhead because of the interest rate being so low. And I'm going to be dead soon. And I don't want to pass a bunch of money off to my kids. They're just going to squander. Instead, what am I passing? A 30-year annuity. So he's minimizing taxes. He's selling them in bulk, which is easier. Not paying any real estate agent fees. And he's giving his kids an annuity, which makes him feel good about what he's passing on to his children. He's a smart, savvy old dude.
Yeah, we just did the exact same thing on several properties we own. Not at 2%, but converting the headaches of real estate management to note management and long-term receivables. So yeah, it's a smart move on his part. I think that's great.
I just sold one recently, a very small house that I couldn't sell for whatever reason. And I ended up selling it and I carried back a 5% 30-year fixed. Right. And it's now I get a Venmo deposit every month and it's instead of this headache that it was. So
cash flow. Yeah, it's all about
and the opportunities are there. A lot of people think, oh, the market's crazy. I'll tell you where the opportunities are. It's in the 60% of existing mortgages that are sub 4% interest. That's where they're at. Learn to take those over in some form or fashion, sub 2 or assumption or whatever. And boom, you got all of the right. That's where
the homes that are on ARMs that are getting readjusted to 8%, where the people can't afford them anymore. And so there's going to be a lot of more supply as a result of that. So
that's right. Good point.
You're ready to step in and support them and find a way to, you know, convert that to rental properties. So Well, I love this. I could talk about real estate all day. And but what you're doing to help people is just, you know, it's absolutely wonderful. I compliment you and your wife, because I'm sure it sounds like your wife is a big part of the team. So
she is. She's the chief brand officer for our whole business. So she's phenomenal. You'll get a chance. If you ever get a chance to meet her, I'm sure you will. You're going to love her, fall in love with her. Everybody does.
I love it when couples work together. You know, I think it's really, you know, important. And, you know, when you have children, their children can learn along with you. That's how I learned. I learned literally watching my parents run their businesses. So,
yeah, I have had this
Love it.
5 years. So this is old. You can see it's all faded. I haven't opened it. The plastic's still on it. I've had it for 5 years because I hoped and prayed that someday we would have children. And then we were against all odds, really. The doctors told us we couldn't, but long story, but we eventually did have children. And sorry, my daughter just literally opened the door, baby.
Wonderful. I love it. Love it.
So we had children and she doesn't know it yet.
Hey, oh my
Say
gosh,
hi.
You're
this
so beautiful.
Sharon.
Hi.
Say hi.
You're beautiful. That's what life is all about. That's what life is all about. I love it. She's so cute. She's beautiful.
She is super cute. And we are going to in probably the next year, she turns, I don't know what the age group is, but she turns 6 soon.
Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, yeah, she's ready for it. She's ready for it. Yeah, love it. I absolutely love it. Well, you're going to hang out with me because we're going to do another shorter recording for the private Facebook group. So for all of you watching and listening, rewind this. What an incredible amount of gold you've heard from Buddy. And I think what an incredible opportunity for you to feel his passion. I mean, you can just see it. If you're watching, you see it. If you're listening, you're hearing it. He's got a giant smile on his face. And so I really congratulate you for all your success and applaud what you're doing. And for those of you watching and listening, if you're not part of the private Facebook group, it's the Play Big Movement Facebook page. It is you just have to ask to join. We want you to be there because those people have come together and said, I want to be number one in my field, live my legacy, which is created every single day. Don't wait till you die. Every single day you're creating your legacy and maximum impact. So please see us inside the Facebook group. If not, rewind this. If you've found value, which I know you have, share it with your networks. And until next time, Thank you, buddy, for being with me. I appreciate you. Hold on with us. And then thank you guys for watching and listening. And until next time, you're fabulous. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.